On this episode, I spoke with Mark Killens, the CEO and co-founder of TAC. Mark is a marketing leader and GTM expert who has worked at places like HubSpot and Drift, and now he runs a GTM firm called TAC. And in this episode, you're going to learn things like what people-first GTM is, how most companies are thinking about it completely wrong, and how to implement people-first GTM into your company. So let's dive right into this episode. All right. So again, all this will patch together. It'll sound better as we do this for real. But let's start off by setting a foundation for who you are. Many of the audience has seen your name, but they maybe haven't heard your voice, or they don't know exactly who you are, what you do. So would love to just give you a chance to talk through some of the bullet points of your marketing career and what you're up to right now.
Yeah, absolutely. My name is Mark Killens. I've been in B2B go-to-market for 17 years. I was at four different companies before I started my own company named TAC. The longest run was at HubSpot for almost 9 years. And then the second longest one was at Drift for close to 4 years, 3.5-ish, maybe 4 years. And we founded, my partner, co-founder and I, Nick Bennett, which I bet some of you folks know, founded and started TAC back in officially August 1st, 2023. We started doing some stuff before then to kind of, as you would expect, test ideas, build a minimal viable audience, things like that. But TAC is a media and go-to-market firm helping startups and scale-ups match how they go to market to how people buy. And happy to dive into anything with you today.
Well, let's get some more information on that. So with TAC, how did you come to know what your market actually was that you wanted to serve? In other words, what was your GTM plan?
Sure. So TAC is founded off this idea, this philosophy, belief system that we call people first go to market. And that's how we're helping companies, Series A to public companies, match how they're going to market to how people buy. So we started developing that idea and that education back in late 2022, actually. And we did that in public. I have like a note in one of my notebooks about it when we started to create the first kind of visual to bring the idea to life. 6 months later, I was like, it seems like this is resonating. Seems like a lot of people are starting to understand what it is. Still didn't have a concrete definition of it yet. I think we're much further along now, still figuring things out. But, you know, April 2023, we decided, or at least I decided initially, to build an owned community called Club PF and see if we could get, 100 or so people to pay $15 a month and sign up for Club PF, all about people first go to market. And within like a month, we got 100 people signing up and paying. So I'm like, that's interesting. That's like, I have a network, but it was like one or two LinkedIn posts. That's all it took. So that said to us, okay, there's probably more here that we could really unpack. And that led us to creating TAC, which is, Club PF plus this TAC network plus TAC GTM. And it's all about helping companies change from a company first go-to-market operating model to a people first. So again, Blake, I'm happy to go deep into any of this. We probably won't have enough time to do it in 15 minutes, but wherever you want to go, I'm happy to go.
Yeah, I do want to dive into it. I want to ask one more career question before we go into the GTM side. So real quick, when you're looking at, okay, so you're at Drift, you're at HubSpot, you're at these companies that people know, SaaS companies, and now you're building out a firm, an agency of sorts, and then you've got other offerings as well, community built within there as well. What's the difference in your approach of marketing a SaaS versus what you're building right now?
Zero difference. That's a podcast for a whole probably other day. The best companies, in my opinion, are built off of a really strong story, a set of values, a set of beliefs. That's how the brand comes to life. It's built off of like who the company is. Of course, the company in the beginning is very much about the founders to some degree in terms of like who the company, the brand is, like the archetype of the company. But that starts to evolve as you start to understand your customers a bit better, as you start to partner with them and partner with other people. The most important thing I think a company can do, no matter if you're B2B, B2C, B2D, services, software, physical goods, is lean into its identity and its brand and everything I just said, because you will be commoditized. And with software businesses, it's accelerating at a pace like I've never seen because of AI. So what's the protection? What's the way that you're going to get distribution leverage or distribution advantage? It's through this people first idea, but it's through like who you are at the end of the day and what you stand for and what you believe.
Yeah, brand is, a huge underrated part of that. So let's dive into the people first GTM idea by first establishing the old way. What are the pillars of the old way of doing this, the company first approach? What are companies doing that is a mistake?
I mean, a lot of like spam. Companies themselves have created a lot of spam. And I'm, partially like inbound marketing is to blame a little bit because we're like, create content. Now content has become so generic and so uninspiring, right? It doesn't really, cut through anything that it's flooded the market. Very company first, very transactional type experiences. So, they try to go to market through a lot of paid ads, through a lot of outbound sales-led motions. It's like, hey, I'm presenting my company to you. Pay attention to me, right? It's like, I'm going to capture your interest and demand before I even try to warm you up. It's like basically trying to put something in the oven when it's cold and expecting it to be really successful at baking that food or roasting that food. That's not going to work, right? So today you got to create demand. You got to warm up the audience. You got to leverage relationships. You got to focus on the quality of the engagements and interactions you're kind of curating and developing versus the quantity. Way less transactional. And it's really about matching how people buy these days. The shift from a search-centric internet to now it is dominated through social. Social is how the internet moves. Web3 has moved in that direction. It's much more social in nature, right? So all of these things that have changed in the last 10 years, are now coming to a head. And because AI is playing such a big role in the ability to once again level the playing field, not just from like a company creation standpoint, but like a product development, product execution standpoint, like you're going to need to leverage things that have been now given to people, meaning people have the power to create audiences and their own companies of one so easily. So why don't you as a business decide, hey, I'm going to go to market with people that are either both full-time employees in my company or people in my ecosystem or people in my category, and work with them to create that demand, create that attention. And over time, let the people who are now doing most of the buying on their own come to me, and I'll in the best position possible, design the experience so when they do need that thing I have that solves that problem that they have, I am going to be, in a way, the best option for them through a variety of factors, not just from a product standpoint.
So obviously every company is different, but if you're looking at, let's say, a SaaS company that would come to work with you and they're making some of those common mistakes, they're doing what other people do, and you're trying to help them get onto a more people first strategy for GTM, what does that tactical correction look like?
It really depends. It's hard to say exactly. It depends on a few factors. At the end of the day, you first have to look at the foundation, though. If you don't have a brand foundation, it's like, we don't have a set of values or principles. We don't have a story. We don't have a point of view. That's where you got to fix it first, right? So that's the highest level of altitude is the brand level. Then it goes into the solution level. Then it goes into the product level. You have to land a plane, to land a customer, you got to slowly get to the runway. You can't go from 30,000 feet to 0 feet in like 10 minutes. It takes a plane 45 minutes to an hour to go through those levels of altitude, just like a customer, right? Like for most things, especially in B2B, almost everything in B2B, it's going to take you a long time to land a high value customer. Even a customer that buys or uses a free product or a very transactional product, it's not going to be like one day I wake up and say, I need video editing software like Riverside to record a podcast. Like you're not going to just do that, out of the blue. So what I'm getting at is you need a foundation to build a new approach to how you go to market off of. And you also need to believe in this approach. So you need the foundation, but you also need to believe in it. Because if you don't believe in it, how it manifests itself won't really be that successful. So those two things at a minimum, from there, you do need good messaging and positioning. I was just talking to one of our potential customers right before this, new software startup, completely native AI-based product, going after the support buyer, the economic buyers, like support leaders. Very interesting. Asked a lot of questions, and it became blatantly obvious that they need help with this messaging and positioning and storytelling exercise, because that is what you're going to build all of the other things from.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. For TAC, getting back into what you're currently building, you're so close to it now that you could probably give some examples here of people first GTM from what you're doing. So
yep,
I'll let you have it that, but I'd love to just kind of know what are the tactics you're doing to make this people first? How are you going about going to market, acquiring customers this way?
Yeah, absolutely. We can leave the link as a leave behind for people listening and watching. We decided to take 7 different growth strategies, growth motions, if you want to call them, growth models, and build them into what we call the people first go-to-market model. So there's 7 of them. And you, Blake, have probably heard of probably all of them, or at least 5 or 6 out of the 7. So we won't have time to unpack each one. But this podcast is an example of 3 of them. There's 3 examples right within what you're doing right now. So one is you are partnering with people like myself in helping share knowledge, right? Is it a formal partnership? No, it's more of like, hey, I have a relationship with you. I've developed a small relationship. Come onto my podcast. I'm going to partner with you to get what you have from your experience and your points of view into the audience that I'm trying to develop and grow and whatnot, which is then a form of content. So you're using partner-led growth. You're using content-led growth. And then you're using this as a way to activate conversations and drive engagement in rented spaces online and maybe in person. And I call that community-led growth. Community-led growth is how you activate the audience in places that you don't have like direct ownership of. LinkedIn's a good example. TikTok's a good example. Private or public communities are good examples of this. Doesn't have to just be a community either. It could literally be things like Reddit, right? That is a rented space, right? But like, you are using 3 out of the 7 motions right now for just this podcast to help you go to market in a more people first way. We're people talking about different things, different stories, different examples, and you're using it to help you activate the demand creation at the top, which is community at the end of the day. And then you're also using it as a way to partner with people. And if you're smart, you'll find ways to take the relationship you've gotten from these episodes and this like kind of really short partnership, if you will, and find deeper ways to cultivate that. Then you have an example like, say, ZoomInfo. So today, as we record this, for example, we just helped ZoomInfo launch their owned community. We call that a member-led growth motion. So ZoomInfo has a ton of activity happening on TikTok. They're actually really great on TikTok. They have a huge YouTube presence. They're doing stuff on LinkedIn. They're all over the place. All these rented spaces. They said, we're going to build an owned community called Modern GTM Community. Modern GTM Community. It's a Slack-based community. You can sign up now. And they're going to then say, hey, folks, opt in if you believe that there's a new, more modern way to go to market. We want to help bring the people together who are doing this. You want to learn more about it. Modern go to market. It's aligned with our belief system at TAC, which is people first. So you're like, great, we'll help you build this. We help them build it. And they're using that plus their community-led growth strategy, now coupled with a content-led growth and an event-led growth strategy to activate the modern GTM community. And they're actually going to be offering free products within that community as well, which is PLG. So right there, there's 5 out of the 7 motions covered right there. And then the other one that they're going to do is they're going to take their ZI Customer Champions program, which is a customer-led growth program, and they're going to put that into the community, right? In a way, they're going to integrate those 2 things together. So it's all about how do you infuse the different aspects of your go-to-market and then the different parts of the customer journey with these different growth models. And some of them are going to be, really simple, like the example I gave you. Some are going to be much more complex, like ZoomInfo, which is trying to like create a much stronger ecosystem and ultimately a moat around the company, right? To help kind of protect it from, any type of competition.
It's interesting you brought up ZoomInfo. I'm actually curious if there are other companies that are doing a really good job as well of any of those different motions or just overall people first GTM.
I mean, if you look, almost every company is already doing some type of people first GTM. they might not be doing it super well. So give me a company and I'll try to like, give me a company you think I know and I'll unpack it really quickly for you. Like, let me see.
Yeah, let's see. Shoot. Now I'm drawing a, blank on bigger companies.
B2B, it doesn't matter. Any company.
Yeah, let's do, like a company like Outreach, for example.
Outreach, oh, 100% people first. I mean, they were one of the most pioneering people first companies because they decided to purchase and own community in Sales Hacker. I mean, that is a membership-led model. I mean, so Colin Campbell, who's now at Pavilion, he's actually part of TAC. He's part of our crew. He's worked with Coursera. So Coursera is a TAC customer. We're helping Coursera do something similar when it comes to people first go to market and building and cultivating communities, both rented and owned. Outreach, though, did this, I don't know how many years ago, 6-7 years ago. They are a hugely great example of saying, we've activated a community in all these different places, and they decided we need to bring them closer into our ecosystem. And they did it in a kind of a smart way where there was an intersection between Sales Hacker and Outreach, but it wasn't exactly like the same, right? They kept them kind of separate to some degree, but they got their customers involved and they built connective tissue between what they were doing from a customer-led standpoint and a, you know, more member-led, community-led standpoint. Another example from a tech standpoint would be like a Gong. Gong is a tremendous example of customer-led and content-led. If you look at Gong's website, you'll see how they created so much great content and research from the voice of their customer, de-anonymized customer data. They use that to then teach their customers and the community about all of the ways Gong can solve these different problems and how their approach to using sales conversations to fuel your go-to-market is a really interesting and valuable way to sell. Another tremendous example.
Yeah, there are a million of them. We could go on and on about that, but as we kind of wrap up, a couple questions here to wrap up with. One big thing that I know marketers will be hesitant on when you're saying go people first, it all clicks, it all makes sense, nothing sounds bad about it. But then There is this level of, okay, cool, but how do I scale that? That's always the marketer's dilemma. How do I scale that? How do you think about what the balance should be there between human connection, non-scalable versus scaling something like this?
So it's actually pretty scalable when you think about it. So content's very scalable. Events are scalable to a degree. Product-led growth, extremely scalable. Community-led growth, also very scalable. Member-led growth, pretty scalable. Customer-led growth, depends on how many customers you have. But, you know, and then partner-led growth, you could slice and dice partner-led growth 10 different ways. It's all about how do you surround your customers and your community, your ecosystem, if you will, through people. And a lot of partner-led growth is somewhat of a combination of this new concept called nearbound, like, you know, surrounding the market with people that your buyers, customers trust and respect. So I say all that because I actually think it is very scalable. What it's not easy to do is like kind of like when you have an appliance or an HVAC system, for example, in a building. And you're like, you know what? It's working. Is it working that efficiently? Is it that productive? No. But it's still working. Do I want to replace it? The status quo exists. That's what a lot of these businesses are facing right now. They have things that are working, definitely not as well, because the machinery is getting less efficient because of a number of reasons. But are they willing to start to replace that, right? And create some investment that's, again, more for the long term versus the short term. You know, there was a company, we have a climate tech company working with us now, and they do incredible things to help huge portfolios of real estate understand how to lower their carbon emissions, which is incredible technology. And they're like, hey, you know, they had a customer like, you know, and the customer said to their asset managers, you know, if you just install, you know, Nest thermostats, you're going to save millions and millions of dollars lifetime. It's going to cost you the upfront $100,000. They wouldn't do it though. And you know, so that's the mindset that I think we have to change in B2B to some degrees, like pull away from the status quo and think about how this is going to change your outcomes long-term. I will say the big thing that we are really focused on doing is helping companies understand how to use the data from a people-first approach. So all of those different motions I mentioned are backed by data. What is the data that it gives you that it's the most valuable, but it's also hard to unlock right now? signals of intent. So I'm a huge believer the future of go-to-market is a signal-based model of intent. So from a community standpoint, a membership standpoint, a customer standpoint, all of those motions and models create signals that you can use to better understand where someone is in the buying journey or customer journey to help you then change the go-to-market setup and experience. That is going to be a few years out at least, maybe more until we get to that point where it's scalable and automatable through the help of AI, because a human could no chance figure that out on their own. And it's going to be a whole new category of kind of lead automation, you know, customer journey automation through these signals of intent that's coming from a people first approach.
Well, we've been able to cover a lot here. I appreciate the depth and everything. There's some really cool examples here. I do want to give you a chance as we close out to just talk about where people can find you and connect with you and what you're most excited about or working on right now.
Yeah, most excited about is this People First GTM movement. So if you want to learn more about it, we have actually wrote a book that's free. Go to clubpf.co, clubpf.co. You can find the book there. You can also sign up to become an insider member to go a lot deeper into this. And then you'll find me on LinkedIn, and that's where I hang out the most these days. And then, of course, tacgtm.com.